This is Maria with The Why, from Success to Startup Show, bringing you the whys of entrepreneurship on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com. Hello, welcome to Startup to Success with Maria. My guest today is Michelle Ngome, who's an award-winning inclusive marketing consultant with Line 25 Consulting and the founder of African American Marketing Association. Michelle, I am so thrilled to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Any marketer, okay, that is out there helping brands grow is my friend, my best friend, okay? Because I know how hard it is, and I respect what you do so much. Before we dive into my favorite subject, I want to know what inspired you to do what you're doing today.
You know, I think the easy answer is I want to help people, right? And you don't know what that entails. But I have to say, like, oh my gosh, 15 years ago, my friend was doing music marketing for a record label here in Houston, and we had the Super Bowl, and he needed help, and I wanted to help my friend. And that just unlocked the door into this industry of marketing that has drastically evolved, you know? But at the core of it, it really is to help people, right? Help people, help their business grow to be successful based off of their measure of success.
Yeah, I love it. So walk me through your journey a little bit. You started because you wanted to help your friend. It's somewhat similar. I mean, I started with my own agency because I was a serial entrepreneur right after grad school. And I realized that marketing was my favorite part of running a business, literally. Like, I hated manufacturing. I had a shoe company, and I hated the manufacturing part of it. I liked the design aspect, which was weird because I can't even draw a shoe, but somehow I could envision the shoe I wanted, and I would hire an artist and the artist would sketch it and then I would pass it on. But my favorite part was just promoting it, selling it. Networking, connecting with people. I mean, yes. I put it in the hands of celebrities. I ended up going to these galas and sponsoring galas and being on a reality TV show on TLC. I just loved it. And that's when I realized, I said, well, if there's anything I could do that entails everything that I love every day, what would it be? And that's when I was like, it's marketing. And it's funny because I got my degree in marketing too, but somehow I had a different vision of marketing. I think I just had that vision of corporate marketing and politics and all of that, and I was shying away from it. Tell me how you got into it. What obviously your friend inspired you, but then what were the next steps?
Yeah, so this was 2004. I did some promotion work, Super Bowl weekend. And after that, next thing you know, we have MySpace, we have WordPress. And I'm using MySpace to get clients. I would write their bio, their press release, put it on my website, and then promote it to other websites and magazines. That's when magazines were changing at that time. So I was like a journalist / publicist, just getting my hands dirty. Like, I've always been scrappy, getting where I fit in.
Love that.
So that was, you know, the foundation of it all. And we fast forward, and we'll get back to more current time. So I'll say 2012, 2013, I had a career in corporate finance. So I left that. And I realized now that we were officially in Web 2.0 with social media marketing, a lot of small business owners were at the time, they were like, I don't understand social media. I don't know what to post. Yeah. And I was like, you don't know what to post because you're not creating content.
Right.
So that's when I started my company, Line 25 Consulting, helping small business owners with content and social media marketing. And at that time, I was early 30s, and my target audience, my target client was someone that was like 55 and up. They've been in business for over 10 years. They know the ebbs and flows of their business. But this is a new landscape, new territory.
Tough target audience to focus on. I have to give you credit for that because they don't understand. So the educational part is a business of its own. Mm-hmm. You educate them and then to convince them to, wow, okay. Yeah. And then?
And then I evolved, you know, people were like, you know, I served in leadership roles and I was speaking more and I was doing, you know, small trainings at churches, like wherever I could get my hands on, I was just speaking because that free presentation would turn into a consulting client. And then people were just like, how do you do this? How do you do this? And I wrote a book on networking. I started teaching, teaching on networking, created a podcast in 2015.
Wow.
Yeah.
I just like ahead of the, you were like in the lines of Joe Rogan.
If only I had the patience, if only I had the
stick with it.
You know, and that's the thing. I think that's sometimes the gift and the curse when you're an early adopter in unknown territory. And it's like, I'm doing something right, but I don't know who to look up to.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Like among my peer group, I was probably one of the first to do a self-published book. Wow. Now, a lot of my friends have a self-published book, and that was just 2014. Wow. And, you know, same thing with podcasting. But I've always been a risk taker. I just put myself out there. I fumble. I embarrass myself. I live to tell it. And here we are.
I love it. And it's interesting. You've had the corporate job, you know, in finance, and then you just clearly you're very creative. But, you know, people sometimes forget that marketing takes a lot of financial understanding. Because what's the purpose of doing anything in marketing if you're not going to look at the performance, if you're not going to look at the ROI? Yes, you're spending $10,000 on something. You want to make sure that $10,000 either breaks even or makes you $20,000, right? I mean, that's the goal in general. Wow. Okay. So you also founded an African American Marketing Association. Tell me about that. That seems so difficult to do.
Yeah. So actually, when I started my business in 2013, I always say it's the voice of an angel. It was literally an unexpected phone call I received one night. And she was like, you know, we don't have a Black Marketing Association. Right. And I was like, you're right. But let me Google. Let me Google just to make sure.
Right.
And so never met that woman, never spoke to her again. I really think that was like a divine calling. Wow. But for 6 years, I would Google African American Marketing Association, Black Marketing Association, and nothing came up. And there was in 2017, 18, there was just a series of bad representation, lack of representation when it came to Black people and marketing and advertising. And I was like, who's in the room? Who's approving these messages when it comes to Black and brown people?
Right.
And I'm gonna go on a tangent a little bit. Like, unfortunately, in the climate where we are in today, you know, companies are proud when they're trending, but it's like you're trending for the wrong reason.
Yeah.
And somehow they still increase their sales and revenue even when they're trending for the wrong reason, which that's a whole different science. But that was the origin story of starting the African American Marketing Association. We say AMA for short. So now we've been up and running for 3 years. At the time of this recording, as of last week, we just completed our first conference, which was absolutely phenomenal. So we've made great strides in a short amount of time, and I'm really excited.
Oh my God, conference. That must have been so difficult to put together, especially post-pandemic. Oh, yeah. Wow. How do you juggle it all? I just want to know, because that's literally running two different companies in a sense.
I am, but you know, look, it's not perfect. I do think sometimes you just have to finish a task. I am not a quitter. Yeah. And I go to a lot of conferences, but you know, you really have to start small. You know, we had 40 attendees, 60 altogether, if we include the speakers. And it's really about, you know, what can I do within my realm? You know, not what I can do compared to Michael Stelzner, social media marketing world, you know, some of these conferences that have 1,000 or 3,000 to 5,000 pre-COVID. It's like, what can I do with my budget, my resources and my team?
Now, is the African American Marketing Association, is that is that like a nonprofit or? Okay. Okay. Good. Good.
Yes. We are a nonprofit with the mission to galvanize Black marketers with the resources and opportunities they need to grow their career or business.
Oh, I love that. I love that. How was it to get other marketers involved? Was that a difficult task?
In the beginning, it was. And look, I have to blame myself. I was like, only marketers, no influencers.
Yeah.
You know, mind you, this was 2018, 2019, where we're, you know, putting the foundation together. And now I'm like, look, come on, because which is like a marketer's curse. But the thing is, look, the vast majority of us are content creators,
yep, and
creatives, you know, and we all need marketing. We all need to learn marketing. We're applying marketing. Like if you're posting on social media, you are a content creator.
Exactly.
Now it's up to you to determine, do you want to put a strategy behind it?
Right.
If you want to put a strategy behind it, you probably want to get paid eventually, you know, and those are some of the differences that kind of determine if you are a content creator / marketer. Yeah. How are you utilizing all of these platforms and technology that we have in our hands?
And to your point, you know, I think when you think of influencers, they are the marketers that are grinding it out there, right? They're at the forefront of things, trying to create content, constantly looking and reviewing the data and analyzing what got what. As a marketer, I don't have time to go and look at the data at that level. You know, we look at the data as a whole, we look at the campaign performance as a whole, but not to that detailed granular level. And if we're strategizing on something, I feel like someone who's doing it in the weeds could always advise better in a sense than someone, you know. But going back to having this mix of people now in your association, I think it's smart because they can all learn from each other. And ultimately, you know, content creators are, I feel like marketing is going to change over the next few years a lot, especially with Web.3, which is what I would love to talk to you a little bit about if you would like to talk about it, because
sure,
it's going to change the landscape. And I feel like I'm so ready for Web.3, 3.0. I'm just ready because I got into the 2.0. I got into it, I want to say back in 2002, I started my first online e-commerce website and did a lot of SEO, which helped my business succeed so quickly. I mean, both my businesses, both my startups. And then I got into the influencer space pretty early on too. I want to say in 2012, I was doing experiential marketing for Kitson, mm-hmm, which is a very known retail store, or was very known retail store in Los Angeles, where a lot of celebrities would go. And I used to do experiential marketing there by inviting all these different bloggers when they weren't really doing Instagram yet. And they would pretty much post and use promo codes and promote and so on. And then later on, influencer marketing kind of extended for me into podcast space. And this is back in 2012, 2013. Where I would partner brands with podcast influencers, radio influencers, YouTube influencers. And then later on by 2016, I was at New York Times spearheading their experiential, their social media influencer marketing department, where we were partnering brands with influencers. So I have my sort of journey with influencers in the social space, mm-hmm, for a while now. And personally, I never got into it as a user because I was always working in it. And it was always like, I don't want to go home and be on Instagram. I don't want to go home and, mm-hmm, be on Facebook. I can't stand it anymore. You know, I've been on it from a different side all day. And so now I'm just at a point where I'm so late in the game. I don't want to get into it. But at the same time, I know that, you know, if you, especially with the radio show and the podcast show, I have to have a presence. I have to have a social presence. But it's so difficult. The algorithms have changed. I see all these colleagues of mine who have huge followings losing followers on a daily basis. And I'm just like, is it even worth it for me to try to be on there? So now I'm like begging and waiting for the next thing to come soon so I can be at the forefront and be over there. So I would love your thoughts on that.
Oh, Web 3.0. You know, I'm still learning, but I will say this. I think the biggest difference with this iteration of the internet is the accessibility, right? Just because we can access so much through our cell phone, our smartphone, it makes it easier compared to buying, you know, $1,500 laptop or, well, cell phones are getting expensive. So
now it's $1,100.
Yeah, so I was like, wait a minute. But let me say this, at least the cell phone's accessible. That's what I'm trying to get at, right? It's accessible. And the gatekeepers, I don't want to say they're completely gone, but they're definitely leveling out, right? So before, you know, people would pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to access certain things,
right?
When it came to direct marketing, affiliate marketing, thought leadership, right? And now you can literally go on YouTube and learn everything you want to know about crypto.
Right.
Because content is in such demand. There's either no paywall or a very low level amount of, you know, that you have to pay in order for you to learn. I also think that depending on where you're at, it could either expand or minimize the wealth gap for generations to come. Mm-hmm. So if you can play, if you have the extra money, and I'm just talking about $100 a week, a month, that's gonna allow you to dabble into crypto, allow you maybe to buy Oculus to experience the metaverse. And you don't even need that. You don't even need the hardware anymore, right? So that's another thing. Things are becoming more accessible, more common. So that price point is going down. Mm-hmm. So just learn, you know, a lot of people complain about their feed, whether it's Instagram or YouTube, but your feed is based off of what you want to watch, what you're entertaining.
Right.
So, you know, search, Instagram search, YouTube search, people that have great information when it comes to metaverse, crypto, NFTs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything of that nature.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the future. It's clear that we're heading that way. And I think, you know, it's interesting because I've been spending more time reading about metaverse. And, you know, one thing that inspired me to start my agency when I was at New York Times, it was this article that New York Times released back in 2016. And it was called Cities of Tomorrow. And they had this futuristic photo of people walking, and then it was just really futuristic. It was just talking about how cities are supposed to get smart eventually, and all these like projections. They were just projecting and kind of guessing what's going to happen in the future. And that's where I came up with my idea for my agency, and we do city takeovers. And I had envisioned this thing where, you know, everybody in the city, including the people, can ultimately be the ones that shine a light on a product or a service if they want, right? Like in a sense. And so now when we do marketing campaigns for our clients, we do our city takeovers, and they're a combination of traditional and emerging platforms. They're not just one. We'll do radio, we'll do billboards, we'll do social. We kind of connect to everyone, but we do it at a city level. That way, we really immerse ourselves into that city, and people are just being exposed to it enough times to learn about your service or product. And but as a also startup owner of my own brand in health and wellness, I own a CBD brand that I accidentally sort of started. I started it because I had to solve my own problem with my hemiplegic migraines. And next thing you know, I got into this crazy industry that it's just insane. It just upsets me sometimes. I'm just like, I just get so angry with being a marketer and not really almost having my hands tied and not being able to share and shine the light on my own product and service because of all the restrictions, right?
Mm.
In marketing. And so I would love your thoughts on, you know, if you come across brands like my, for example, Roma Leaf, where it's a CBD brand, and I love going by the book. I love doing everything by the book. I don't want to promote a candle and then you click on it and go to a CBD brand like most of my competitors are doing. What would you recommend? You know, because I think my challenge has been, I've been so blessed with the type of clients that have had huge budgets. And we do radio and podcast, it's so easy. But then as a startup owner, I don't have that large budget to go do radio and podcast, because you're talking about 20, 30, 100,000 per month. That's not a joke. And so I kind of sometimes feel like I can't help cure myself, I can't cure my own problem.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.